Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's pray as we come to this text of Holy Scripture. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you. We thank you that your word gives us doctrine to give us eternal life, particularly the doctrine of Christ crucified and resurrected, and by faith in him we receive that wonderful gift of everlasting life. But we thank you that it also gives us practical wisdom on how to live our everyday life in a way that pleases you and is good for us. And so we thank you for this portion of Scripture that truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path of general wisdom of dealing with quarrels not our own. And so we pray you would help us to be wise in interacting with others and being faithful to you and to your word. Help me in preaching and help my brothers and sisters in listening. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have this very interesting verse of passing by and meddling in a quarrel that doesn't belong to us is described like one who takes a dog by the ears. And so we'll see the point that is being made here in this very interesting but very wise proverb of how to deal with other people's problems. That's basically the passage's meaning, or what it's getting at. How should we, as God's people, if we're walking in wisdom, deal with other people's problems? How should we interact with them generally speaking? And we know Proverbs are genuine, general wisdom, but they give us general wisdom for how to live a life skillfully for God's glory and in the fear of him. And so the main point of this sermon is passing by and meddling in a quarrel not your own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. So my first point, passing by and meddling in a quarrel not your own. Passing by and meddling in a quarrel not your own. Second point, taking a dog by the ears. Taking a dog by the ears. So again, my first point, passing by and meddling in a quarrel not your own. So what's being described here is a person through a circumstance, they're passing by, and they hear or overhear or become aware that someone is having a quarrel. Someone is having an argument. They are passing by, and it's not involving them, because we know the word of God is clear. If someone sins against us, our responsibility is, and we can't cover it with our love, that's the first thing we should choose to do, if we can, cover it with our love. If we can't do that, if they sin against us, then we are to go to them and get things right and tell them the offense, and hopefully they will hear us if it was a genuine offense against God's law, and there will be repentance and reconciliation. If we sin against another person, we should even leave our gift at the altar and go and be reconciled. So if it's our problem in that sense, we sin against someone, or they sin against us, we are, as much as it depends on us, to seek to bring reconciliation if we cannot cover it with our love. And that is kind of bringing reconciliation, because there's no need if you can just cover it with your love. And so we know the scriptures are clear while we do that. They sin against us, we confront them. If we sin against someone else, we go to them, ask their forgiveness, and get things right. But here is describing when we are passing by and it doesn't belong to us. We weren't sinned against. We didn't sin against them. It's not our matter. It's a quarrel. It's a disagreement that doesn't belong to us. And we do know that at times we do need to be involved in situations, but many times, as we'll see, it's best to stay out of it, to stay out of it. We have a phrase, which is actually a phrase in our Bibles, I'll show it to you, where we say something like this. Sometimes the best thing to do is mind your own business. That's actually a phrase in our Bible. I'll show it to you. That we are actually commanded to mind our own business. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll see that. Where we are commanded by the Holy Spirit that we are to mind our own business. 1 Thessalonians 4, I'll read verses 9 through 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 12. It says there, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command it, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." And so we see the exhortation here that he says that we are to lead a quiet life. We are not to be those who are excessively rowdy in that sense, that we are to seek to, and then he unpacks that more by saying, mind your own business. We are to be marked by those who mind our own business to work with our own hands as we command you, as the apostles commanded them and Paul's fellow laborers. And so we see that language that we are to mind our own business. And that's what Proverbs 26 is getting at. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own. It's a man not minding his own business. It's someone who's entering into a disagreement, a fight, a quarrel that has nothing to do with him and is actually something that is not involving him at all. It's a quarrel not his own. He is, instead of obeying the admonition of Scripture to mind his own business, he's actually entering into other people's business that it is best left to them. It's best left to them. And so we see that exhortation given here in 1 Thessalonians, to mind our own business. We see, interesting example, when it seems like maybe in an unwise way, it's possible that it was good, but we see at least the response when a man entered into a quarrel not his own. We see this with Moses. Moses went, an Egyptian was fighting an Israelite. It was a quarrel not belonging to him, Egyptian Israelite. And what he did is he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Then, very quickly after, two Israelites were fighting, and they said, "Who made you a prince or a ruler over us? Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian?" And then he fled. And so we see Moses there, an interesting example of him taking upon himself to interact with a quarrel not belonging to him, which is an interesting example in Scripture. We also see, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, the exhortation, particularly for the younger women, why they should, if they are widows, to get remarried if they're younger women, because they might be busybodies, which is very similar to being a meddler, entering into other people's affairs. And so we see that in 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 11 to I'll read to verse 15. "But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan." And so we see here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wants the younger widows to marry and bear children and manage the house because he doesn't want them with all that energy, because they're younger women, to go from house to house and entering in other people's affairs and meddling in what other people's problems are and being gossips and busybodies. And he knows the answer for that is if they would marry, bear children, and manage their house. And so we see that exhortation of the importance here of women not being busybodies and gossips, not meddling in other people's affairs. And then that exhortation is given to the entire church in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, 14 to 16. The need to not be a busybody or meddle in other people's affairs. 1 Timothy 4, 14 to 16. It says there, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And so we see the reality that we are not to be a busybody in other people's affairs. And so the scriptures teach us, we see in Proverbs 26 and in other places like 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Timothy 5, 1 Peter 4, the need that we have to not be a busybody, to not to pass by and meddle in other people's affairs. So again, we see, to kind of bring these things together, we see the danger it is for us if we are passing by, if we are not involved with something, and we think it's good for us to enter into other people's problems. It's warning us of the danger of doing that. It's warning us that it might be very, very unwise to think that we can somehow help other people when we hear about their quarrel and we enter into it. Because what we might actually do is make it worse for them and make it worse for us. Make it worse for us. And so that's what this text is warning us about. Some practical ways people might see a husband and wife having a disagreement. And you think it's your job at that moment to enter in to make things right. Or parents are having a quarrel with their children, and you feel the need right at that moment to enter in. Or coworkers are quarreling, and you think it's my job, my responsibility, to enter in at that very moment. Could there be a time where maybe it's wise? Maybe. But ordinarily, if it's not yours, it's best that we, as the scriptures tell us, to mind our own business. To not enter into other people's affairs, lest we become a busybody and actually make things worse. And so that's the general counsel of the Word of God. Again, there are times where we are commanded to enter in. If we were sinned against, if we sin against others, we have to. But if this is not our situation, if this is not our problem, we might just make it more difficult for ourselves if we do. This also applies as well to the reality of the spheres that God has set up, the jurisdictions that God has set up in this world. God has set up the state, he has set up the family, and he has set up the church. And so when the church starts meddling in the affairs of the civil government, or the civil government in the church, or the church into the family, or the family into the church in ways that are not right and not commanded by God, they are actually bringing harm to themselves and to those even they're trying to help. And so we are not to enter in ways that God has not commanded, to other people's problems. The church into the state, the family into the church into the family. It doesn't mean the church can't speak into the life of the family and teach them what God's word is, or the church to what the state should do. But we are not to exercise the prerogative of fulfilling their duties and taking upon ourselves to handle all their matters. The family's been given uniquely the rod to correct children. The church has been given uniquely the keys to bring in members and discipline members. And the state has been given uniquely the sword to punish evildoers. And so it also applies to the jurisdictions that God has set up in our world of the church, the state, and the family. And so we see generally again the exhortation of this passage of Scripture is that for us, if we are going to be wise, it's best to not enter into other people's quarrels. It's best for us just let it be, because by doing it, it might bring, as we'll see in a few minutes or soon, we'll see the reality of what it might bring upon us if we don't let other people deal with their own quarrels. And maybe some of you experienced this. Maybe you are trying to help someone. Maybe you're trying to give someone help, and you're trying to enter into a quarrel, and it just made it worse for the whole situation. You tried to enter in, you tried to help, you tried to make it better, but actually it turned out to actually not help you or them in the long run. Aren't we thankful that we meet inside right now with this rain? I know I am. So we see the reality that it can make things worse when we enter into other people's problems. And so that's very practical. Because our Christian heart, if we are born again by the Holy Spirit, we are peacemakers. Because we are walking in the Beatitudes. And one of those Beatitudes are, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And so our natural heart, our renewed heart by the Holy Spirit, desires to help people. Desires to help people be at peace. Our desire is to be good at conflict resolution and helping other people. And that's a good desire. But if it's not done in wisdom and we're entering into other people's problems when they haven't asked for help, they don't desire help, and we're just kind of barging into their problems, it's actually not going to be helpful most of the time. That's what this text is telling us. It's good to want to be a peacemaker. But by entering into other people's problems when they're not associated with you, they're not your problem, they're not connected with you, they didn't ask, you might be setting yourself up to put yourself in harm's way. That's what the text is teaching. That he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, in an argument, in a fight, one who enters in to a quarrel not his own, is someone, as we'll see, who takes a dog. By the ears. And so I'll get into my second point now, taking a dog by the ears. So we see that he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own, then it describes the foolishness of doing that. It's just as foolish as taking a dog to control the dog by the ears. I'm not sure if I've ever done that. Maybe when I was younger, maybe. But though I was actually talking to Liz and her sisters about this text, and they know dogs maybe a little bit better than I do. And I mean, you can kind of get a picture, even if you don't know dogs, what would probably happen. But we have a phrase, I think, somewhat maybe connected to this. It will come back to bite you. And it might even be connected with a verse like this. That if you grab a dog by the ears, a very sensitive part of a dog's body, that very likely they might snap at you. They might try to bite you, possibly, if you're trying to take a dog by the ears. And so I think what the text is getting at is if you pass by and meddle in a quarrel that doesn't belong to you, it might come back to bite you. It might come back to bring hardship upon you. And it might actually bring and make it worse than it was in the first place when they were quarreling just by themselves. It's not fun to get bit by a dog. And by taking a dog by the ears, that dog, because they don't like to be pulled by their ears. I mean, think about looking at a person dragging a dog by the ears down the road. That dog, especially if it's a dog that's pretty aggressive, it's only going to last so long, or hardly at all probably wanting that. I mean, if we get someone pulling us by the ears, we won't last that long. How much more a dog that you're trying to pull down with their ears or take somewhere with the ears? And so it's one of those things as well, is if you get a dog by the ears, someone made this point as I was listening to a sermon connected with this text. If you get a dog by the ears, if you have a strong grip and are able to really control them, then they might not be able to get you, but then you have to keep holding. If you lose your grip, then they might snap at you. So it's kind of a lose-lose. And that's, I think, maybe what the picture, that was a good point that this pastor brought up. It's kind of a lose-lose situation. By grabbing the dog by the ears, you have to keep doing it so they don't snap at you. Or if you do, they might quickly snap at you. Or you might try and they get you anyways. And so it is when we enter into a quarrel not our own, we can either get one person upset with us that we entered in, And then if we step out of it, the other person might be upset. I thought you were on my side. And then we get, maybe get both people upset at us because we're not either side. And then it just becomes a whole big mess. It's like taking a dog by the ears. And so we see the reality that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to not enter into a quarrel not belonging to us, because it's just as foolish as taking a dog by the ears. It's just as foolish as trying to control a dog by a sensitive part of their body, their ears, because it's just going to bring you into harm's way. And so the practical counsel for us is that we should not enter into a quarrel, not our own. Generally speaking, we should mind our own business. Leave it to them. Keep it to them. Because if you do that, you're asking yourself and you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're putting yourself in harm's way. Because what we are saying is we are thinking that we can be the savior of everyone's problem. But when we don't enter into a quarrel not our own, you know one thing we're saying? Is we're saying God is sovereign and he's better than me at helping these people. I would be actually violating Scripture, wanting God to help by violating Scripture. And also it reminds us that people's ultimate answer for peace and reconciliation is not found in me, but it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What ultimately reconciles people? People of different ethnicities, people of different backgrounds with money, backgrounds with these type of things. What ultimately reconciles people to God and to others is not our clever tactics, but ultimately what reconciles people is a greater understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A greater understanding of how God, through Christ, reconciles Jews and Gentiles, blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics, and he reconciles them together in one body, the church. That's ultimately where reconciliation is found. Not by our trying to do it in ways that are unbiblical, but by the gospel penetrating people's hearts more and more, where they come to see that my sin against this person, my quarrel against this person, is nothing in comparison to my quarrel against God has been forgiven by Christ's precious blood. And so that's how people really and grow in their understanding of these things, because they realize, I can't be everyone's savior. I can't fix every problem. But Jesus, through his gospel, can, if people receive it by faith. And so this is a way where we say, God, I know you're sovereign. I know you're good, and I know I'm not their savior. And I know by entering in, I might feel like I can fix everyone's problems, but I actually might make it worse. Because I know I have limited resources, limited wisdom, and limited knowledge to enter in. And so help me to obey your word by minding my own business, maybe praying for them, praying that God through Christ would help them, but minding your own business so that they might be able to take care of it themselves. Because ultimately reconciliation is found not in our cleverness, but in people grasping the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is important. This is important. So this is as practical as things that might happen this week, maybe things you hear about or things that you discover, and thinking, is this my quarrel? Is this something that I need to enter into? Is this something I have to get involved with? And there are things that people do have to get involved with, their children or these type of things, or maybe their church if they have to. But thinking, is this something that it's necessary, beneficial, and good for me to be involved with? Or is it just making things worse? And really thinking, if the word of God says that by entering into another person's quarrel is like taking a dog by the ears, it should make us at least very cautious of entering in and trying to be the peacemaker of a situation that doesn't belong to us at all. That doesn't belong to us at all. Because ultimately the answer is, again, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you have not been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're here and you have not put your faith in Christ, you can never walk in true wisdom. You might take some of these principles and apply them, and it might make things a little bit better, but you cannot truly walk in God's wisdom that pleases him unless you've been brought by his grace to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Because the greatest quarrel you have is not before another person or by foolishly entering into another person's quarrel. It's that you, at this moment, if you're without Christ, are an enemy of God, and he has a war against you, and you have a war against him. And the only way that that can be solved, the only way that your quarrel against God can be answered, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way that it can be you can be delivered from your quarrel against God is if you throw down your arms and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But until a person does that, until a person flees their trust in self, they can never truly have that quarrel between them and God answered. And so the question is for you, is are you in a quarrel with God? Are you one who has still have your arms up against God saying, no, God, no, God, no? Or have you, by God's grace, put your arms down and said, God, I cannot do it unless you save me through Jesus Christ? But the wonderful thing is God is so merciful that even though we have a quarrel against him, and he even against us because of our sin, he is willing to forgive and reconcile any person that comes in humble repentance and faith to him, trusting in Jesus Christ. That is where the answer is found. That is where the mercy is found for our quarrel against God. It's found in Jesus Christ. Because as Jesus died upon the cross, he was bringing God and man together as the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And then as God's people, as those who have wisdom from the Holy Spirit, we must seek to mind our own business. We must seek to not get involved unnecessarily with other people's stuff. We must seek not to enter into quarrels not belonging to us, because by doing that, it might come back to bite us. And so we must be very wise to not enter into things that do not belong to us. And we should also be wise how we interact with others and seek to be faithful to know when to speak and when not to speak. Knowing when is it wise to say something? When is it wise to just keep our mouth closed? How should I interact with these people? What should I do? What should I say? Because when we enter in a quarrel not our own, it's like one who takes the dog by the ears. And so we should be wise. The general wisdom from this passage is basically this. Don't enter into another person's quarrel. Full stop. That's what it is. Don't enter into another person's quarrel. Don't do it. You might be thinking, but what about this? What about this? Could there be an exception? Yes. But the general wisdom of the Word of God from a text like this is if it's not your problem, it's best to mind your own business. It's best to not enter in. It's best to not get involved, because you might have it come back to bite you. And so we must be very wise not to enter in to other people's quarrels. Again, if we sin against someone, we need to make it right. If they sin against us and we can't cover with our love, we need to make it right. But if someone else sinning against another person and it's best for us not to enter in, it's best for us not to enter in. You might be thinking, but what about in a church discipline case? What about that? Well, if we are obeying this text, you know what it should be? Not everybody entering into that quarrel. It should be that person who was sinned against entering in. And only when you are asked to be a part of it, the two or three witnesses or the church, then you enter in. But you don't enter in passing by meddling when you weren't asked. Because the best thing, what can easily happen, is you go to everybody else about the person sinning or you being sinned against, instead of going to that person and everybody's in the quarrel and everybody, it comes back to bite them. So actually, this is connected with church discipline, because church discipline is not all of us entering into other people's sins or problems. It's the person who was sinned against, first and foremost, or the ones who need to deal with that problem. And then, if it goes past that, then other people are asked to be brought in so that it can be taken care of. And so this is the wisdom that God wants us to have, to not pass by and meddle in a quarrel not our own, because we do not want to be one who takes a dog by the ears, but instead remembering that our hope is not in us, but in the God who saves and allows us by his grace to live at peace with all men insofar as it depends on us. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ who reconciles us to you. And we pray you would help us to walk in your truth and to be those who are wise in interacting with others. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.